All right, welcome to the Young Turks, Cenk Uygur, Experian with you guys. Countdown to election, we're under 2 months. Every day is precious. We certainly have news on that, but unfortunately, we also have news about shootings as that continues. We do have good news for you guys in terms of new programming. We're always trying to provide more for you guys. In this case, it's on Twitch again, Mondays, that's tonight, 7:30. PM Eastern, go to twitch.tv/TYT. That's where you're gonna find Rick Strong from TYT Sports. Newly married, as we announced on the show a little while back. So he's gonna discuss sports and politics. And obviously there's a lot to talk about. There's the only time that the four major sports have ever been playing together at the same time, ironically. And this is in the middle of coronavirus. And so don't miss it every Monday, and he's taking it's starting September 14th, obviously. He's taking suggestions from you guys on what to cover as well during the stream. All right, and let me just check in on the thermometer. It's the beginning of a new week, and guys, I think there's a lot to be hopeful about. We can do this together. Right now, 44,861. For every year, every month this year, we try to get to $200,000 just this year. And it's, look, it just 10% of the money that the right wingers get helps us power past them significantly. So that's you guys beating the right wing billionaires. I say that number based on PragerU getting $23 million a year. In free money from two right-wing billionaires. 2 million from you guys over the course of 10 months, that's less than 10% of what the billionaires give right-wing propaganda. And we kick their ass left and right. And we do it with you guys at tyt.com/go. So we'll check back in on that, see if in the next segment we're past 45,000 or not. Meanwhile, lots of stories. So Anna, let's do it.
All right, well, we start off with a pretty tragic story out of Los Angeles, but it's making national headlines. So two Los Angeles Sheriff's Department deputies were ambushed by a lone shooter at a metro station in Compton Saturday night. Fortunately, both of the cops have survived the shooting, even though both of them were shot in their head. They are in serious yet stable condition and hoping that they make a full recovery. We don't know too much about the story so far, other than the fact that this ambush happened. The suspect is still out on the loose. We don't even have any specific details identifying what the suspect looks like. The only thing authorities have released is that the suspect is allegedly a male. With that said, we do have video of what happened in this ambush. It's surveillance footage. Let's take a quick look at that. Walking up to the vehicle, the cops are just parked. They were just, patrolling the metro station in Compton, minding their own business, and this ambush happened. Again, I want to emphasize that we don't know anything about the suspect other than what the authorities say, which is that he is a male. Other than that, we don't know what the motive is. A lot of people are already jumping to conclusions, which I get. That's definitely a tempting thing to do, but we have to hold and wait until we know all the details. Now, one of the deputies only identified as a 31-year-old mother of a 6-year-old boy, was shot in the jaw and arms, but is in critical and stable condition. The other deputy, a 24-year-old man, was struck by gunfire in the forehead and an arm and a hand. He's described as alert. Neither of their names have been released to the public. Both deputies were sworn in only 14 months ago. There's a different element to the story that I'll talk about in just a second. It has to do with protests at the hospital. But Cenk, I wanted to give you an opportunity to jump in.
Yeah. So first of all, the authorities, in the latest news pieces, say male, black, 28 to 30 years old. So we don't know if that's exactly right. Of course, that's just their first attempt at trying to identify the person. Obviously, there's a reward. A police officer is being shot, $100,000 reward to help find the person. In terms of assumptions about who it is, well, okay, based on that description, you can make a couple of assumptions. A lot of times it's right wingers who shoot police. great majority of the time the cops are shot in this country, it's by right-wing fundamentalists and militia members, etc. In this case, that is less likely, obviously, with an African-American suspect. There's not a lot of African-Americans in right-wing militia groups. So, and now there's one thing that complicates this. It's the it's in Compton, where the sheriff's department has been accused of having gangs within the sheriff's department by other police. Other police have accused them of that. And so if they're, you know, and God, that is, that doesn't mean that two people in the car are, first of all, it doesn't mean anybody in the in that sheriff's department is involved in gang police, gang violence, or having their own gang. But it is a substantial accusation, and it came up in a court hearing once on a wrongful shooting, and they wound up paying out $7 million in a settlement rather than get into the details of what gangs might exist there. But even if that is all true, it doesn't mean that the two people, the police that were involved or had anything to do with it. It might still be random in that sense. But so there are complicating factors here. It's not just a clean cut case of, oh, somebody just shooting police or somebody shooting left wingers or right wingers, etc. Now, in terms of what is clean cut and very obvious, the shooting is immoral under any and all circumstances. Those are two innocent people. 31-year-old woman there has a 6-year-old son, as Anna read to you guys. These two folks, 24 or 31 years old, shot in the forehead, shot in the jaw. Super lucky that they survived. Thank God for that. And so that's crystal clear. Now, the second thing that's clear is this will help in any of efforts to reform the police. So if it was in any way, shape or form in that person's head, at least in their mind, politically connected, well, then it's the most counterproductive thing I've ever seen. It makes police far more likely to shoot quicker because of safety concerns like this one. And it makes repairing the breach much more difficult.
Yeah, definitely. So if the suspect is in any way connected to, you know, the protesters or whatever, yeah, it is absolutely counterproductive and he should be condemned 100% no matter what, as you said. I wanted to give a little more context into what you were mentioning earlier, Cenk, about how the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department had a very credible allegations of engaging in gang activity themselves. This was a very big story that broke not too long ago. And that is something that complicates the story a little bit. So the Bandidos, the 3000 Boys, the Regulators and the Linwood Vikings are only a few of the estimated 17 gangs that operate in jails and sheriff's stations across the county. Members often have matching tattoos connecting them to the secret groups entrenched. Entrenched at all levels of the department. And so that was a big report. And as you also alluded to, the way that reporters found out about that was there was a sheriff's deputy who actually spoke out against it and tried to raise awareness about it because he thought he was doing the right thing in trying to get, you know, this toxicity out of and this criminality out of the sheriff's department. But he was retaliated against and referred to as a rat. He received a text message referring to him as a rat. And so that is a credible story to keep in mind. One other thing to also keep in mind that I think is incredibly counterproductive is outside of St. Francis Medical Center in Linwood, where the injured officers were being treated Saturday night, a small crowd, including some apparent demonstrators, gathered. Witnesses say members in the group were chanting anti-law enforcement slogans and at one point tried to get inside the hospital. There was a pastor there with, you know, a group of people who was trying to like pray for the officers. And he talked to the press and said that the demonstrators were actually blocking the entrance. So when people were trying to get into the emergency room, it was being obstructed. All of this stuff is just gross. And beyond, I mean, yes, it's counterproductive. I mean, if you care about strategy and actually reforming police, which needs to be done, this is counterproductive. But more importantly, it's just morally wrong. It should be condemned. These are people, okay? I get that right now everything is very politically charged, but that woman has a 6-year-old son at home who's terrified right now. You know, these are people who weren't doing anything wrong. They weren't caught on tape doing anything brutal to anybody. They were sitting in their police vehicle when they were ambushed. what are people doing right now? This is insane. I just don't accept that.
Yeah, so in terms of the gangs within the cops and the sheriff's offices, that's pretty close to fact. The question is, how big a presence is it? Why I say it's not close to fact, it is a fact. One of the sheriff leadership that was fired was part of the Vikings gang. That's tends to be more white supremacists. I know, it's shocking. And the gang that the other officer accused them of being part of is called the Executioners. And that's for police that get tattoos of skulls on their bodies after they execute a member of the public. So if that gang actually exists, that's something that is massive story and it should be investigated. But again, those two folks have, there's 0% evidence the two cops involved were involved in any of that. So it's innocent people that are being targeted here. And so none of this is productive. It's all insane. The protesters have a better chance of being honestly left wingers as opposed to the shooter who nobody knows. And there is no left wing group that's going to encourage anyone to commit violence like that. Right wing says, oh, Second Amendment rights, so you got to act, you got to do something. There's no group on the left that says that. So if someone went rogue, that's a different story, okay? But in terms of the protesters, what are you guys doing in front of people who were shot? We're against anyone innocent being shot. So I don't know why you would show up there, what, to protest the people who were shot? That's insane. So if they think they're on the left wing or they're progressives, that is not the way to do it. And you're totally wrong about that action and apparently the principles you think you have. But no, you don't go to the hospital to protest people who have just been shot.
Yeah, and it goes beyond protesting. I mean, it's the stuff that they were, you know, reportedly shouting, and you guys can watch the videos for yourselves. We were gonna grab a video to show you on the show, but the language was like littered with all sorts of words that we just can't air. So lots of stuff about, I wanna deliver a message to the families. I hope they effing die. I hope they effing die. Like, God, it's pretty terrible. So those are the facts of the story. That's what we have now, and we'll update you as we learn more. But now moving on, there's a different angle to this story that I want to discuss, because while the left unequivocally condemns any type of murder, whether it's committed by someone on the left or the right, doesn't matter, it should be condemned. Seems like the right wing only cares about the police getting ambushed and shot to death if they suspect the perpetrator is someone who's associated with Black Lives Matter. Now, just a few months ago in June 6th to be exact, in Northern California, two members of the Boogaloo Boys ambushed police officers and shot and killed them. And I don't remember Candace Owens freaking out about it, but Candace Owens did decide to use a recent story of two LA sheriff's deputies who were also ambushed, luckily they survived, to make a point about athletes that she doesn't like, because if she's not picking on LeBron James, how is she gonna get paid? Let's take a look at what she had to say in a tweet. She writes, why does this happen? Because pea-brained celebrities that are idolized like LeBron James tell young Black men that they are literally being hunted. This is the natural result of such hyperbolic, dishonest rhetoric. The racist, anti-police, Black Lives Matter lie is to blame. Now, Lamar Odom has, LeBron James has never ever said anything that would encourage violence. He has never encouraged violence. This is a complete and utter lie. But I do remember right wingers encouraging violence, and it's actually led to things like mass shootings in this country. Here's one example featuring the El Paso shooting and how he was inspired by rhetoric by Donald Trump.
Law enforcement officials telling ABC News that before the chaos broke out,
run, Mija, run,
that they believe the suspect had been looking for a good place to target and shoot Mexicans. Law enforcement officials telling us Crucius entered the Walmart on Saturday morning, first with no weapon, apparently to case it. Then they say, satisfied with what he saw, up to 3,000 shoppers inside, he left the store, armed himself, and then returned. Tonight, we are hearing from the survivors who crawled across that floor when he came armed with that assault-style rifle. Sylvia Sacedo on the floor with her 91-year-old mother. She pulled out her phone and began recording in disbelief over what she could hear, what she could see. They were in the cafe having coffee. Now they were on the floor.
His goal was to, quote, shoot as many Mexicans as possible. So the possibility with that this massacre was racially motivated certainly is a leading theory for investigators right now.
And Kira, you're learning more about reports of a document linked to the killer that expressed anti-immigrant views.
Right. And the El Paso police chief is saying that investigators are looking into what he is calling a manifesto. And it's believed to have been written by the shooter, Witt, saying that it shows a possible nexus to a hate crime. That document expressing fear that white voters in the U.S. will be replaced by Hispanics.
John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman, was quoted in WikiLeaks as saying, illegal immigrants could vote as long as they have their driver's license.
You have people that are registered who are dead, who are illegals.
I have more examples I can go to, but Cenk, jump in.
Yeah, so I remember the right-wing militia that killed the cops in Nevada and put the Gadsden flag on them, don't tread on me. And given the number of cops that the right-wing militia kills, it's actually astounding that the cops are not more furious about it. Number of people who are officially part of the Black Lives Matter movement killing cops is zero. Every time someone black kills a police officer, every right-winger in the country jump up and down. Black Lives Matter. Wait, are they actually connected to the group? No, not at all. Doesn't matter. They're black, whatever, good enough, right? Whereas in the case of the right-wing shooters, they either directly say, yeah, Trump told me that they're criminals and rapists and I had to do something about it, or they put together a manifesto on race wars, or they're actually totally part of the groups, the militia groups, that are right wing. So this happens all the time. In fact, we've covered this before. Department of Homeland Security under George W. Bush had written a report about it. Fox News and Rush Limbaugh complained so much that Barack Obama pulled it. It was an act of complete cowardice on the part of his administration. And when Trump got in office, he said, no, we're going to even disband anyone trying to cover the crimes of the right-wing militia, even targeting police officers. So, I mean, you want to talk about pea brain. I don't think Candace Owens is that stupid, but she plays one on TV. And so she goes around in order to collect money from her right-wing suitors, turns around and claims that LeBron James is the one encouraging things like this. She knows it's going to get media attention when she mentions him and accuses him of things that are preposterous and not anywhere near true. And on that note, let me just make one quick comment. LeBron James said the thing about being hunted in the case of Ahmaud Arbery, who was literally hunted down by two guys and shot while jogging in Georgia. And that was not a police shooting. That was two citizens, white right-wingers who tracked him down and murdered him. There's no disputing what LeBron James said was an absolute fact and had nothing to do with the cops. So that leaves only the question of whether Candace Owens is in fact pea-brained and incredibly stupid, or whether she's corrupt and does it for money. I'm voting for option B, but have your pick.
Yeah, I'm voting for both. I think that it's not mutually exclusive. I think that she is pea-brained. I mean, she said in a hearing, I don't remember if it was in a hearing, but she literally said that the problem with Hitler wasn't that he wanted to make his country great. It's just that he was a globalist. That was the problem with Hitler. You don't remember that?
Like, yeah,
that is an insane thing to say.
No, look, if a left winger ever says something as abhorrent as the problem with Hitler wasn't killing 13 million people, including 6 million Jews, they would never, ever be accepted in democratic politics or any circle. When a right winger says it, they're like, okay, run out the clock, 30 seconds in, nobody's paying attention because Trump said something worse, and we'll move on. And Candace Owens is totally legitimate, and no problem with Hitler. Everybody's fine and happy. They quote her, they invite her, they give her money, they speeches, books, etc. They're feted, basically. So the right wing has officially become the, ironically, the insane clown posse, and they fly their freak flag proudly.
The thing that bothers me the most, right, is that literally no one's life really matters to these people, because everything is seen as a situation where they can either exploit it for their own political agenda or ignore it. And in the case of the Boogaloo Boys ambushing and killing two police officers in Northern California, radio silence, right? No pressure to talk about those stories, no condemnations, none of that. They don't even care about cops. And I mean, you know that based on the types of policies they support as well, when you really think about it. I mean, the right wing is totally in favor of armor piercing bullets, which law officials are 100% against because it threatens and risks their lives, right? They need to be able to protect themselves with, you know, bulletproof vests and things like that. And these bullets literally go through it. Right wingers like, no, Second Amendment. We should have any type of weapon, any type of bullet we want, Second Amendment. They don't actually care about the cops. They just use what's happening right now between demonstrators and the cops to keep pushing forward with their political agenda. And the thing that frustrates me the most is they're winning. Like, they're winning the narrative. I mean, if you look at public polling and support toward Black Lives Matter, they're winning in the messaging war, and more people every week believe that Black Lives Matter is associated with looting and with riots, right? Nearly half of Americans think that at this point. So go ahead, Cenk.
Yeah, so sorry, a couple of things related to that. That's so frustrating. To your point about them winning the messaging wars, whenever a right winger kills cops and says, I did it because I'm part of a right wing militia and we think the government is jackbooted thugs and we like to kill them, no one ever asks Republican politicians, are you condemning that? Because they assume, like, of course, who would be monstrous enough to support that? That's never a question. It's never put on to Republicans. Anytime, in this shooting, no one knows who did the shooting. No one knows what his motive is. But now every Democrat and every progressive is asked, in essence, by the right wing and unwittingly by the media to apologize for it. What does that have to do with me? As a random guy went in New Zealand and shot 51 Muslims, why would I apologize for that? A random guy goes and shoots two cops in the middle of LA, why would I apologize for that? Why would I? That doesn't make any sense. Obviously, we condemn innocent lives being taken, the random shootings. That's the most progressive thing you could do. But they won the framing war so much that when actual right wingers kill cops, no one asks right wing politicians to apologize for it. When randos kill people, people turn to everybody on the left and goes, now you all apologize for something you didn't do and had no connection to. It's insane. And yet we accept it as normal. So, and right now, every right winger is out there lying about this shooting and pretending that they know what it is. And they're setting the frame, and the media goes along with it far too often. And last thing on that is local news is a cancer. The reason why the polling shows Black Lives Matter taking a hit on whether they're rioters or not is because even though 93% of the protests are peaceful, according to a recent study that was done, and of the 7% that involve violence, it is oftentimes either the police or the right-wing militia that start the violence in a majority of those cases. But that's not what people see. People see burning buildings on local news 24/7. Because local news is addicted to riot porn. So in every city, in every country, local news is pumping poison into people's minds going, oh my God, they're burning buildings, they're coming. It's black people. I mean, protesters are peaceful, but whatever, it's black people and burning buildings. So local news could not help Donald Trump more if they were actively trying to help them.
We got to take a break. When we come back, we have an update on Trump fueled terrorism in this country, especially when it comes to extrajudicial killings, something that he just openly promoted in a recent interview. We'll be right back.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called Un-F-ing the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of Un-F-ing the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. On Thursday, I'm going to be hosting a town hall event called No Dem Left Behind. These are for Democratic candidates running in red districts. We've got to support everybody involved. It's a group that Richard Ojeda is helping to lead. I'm going to talk to Ojeda. You'll see that tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. Eastern right here. And this event is, you could find out more about at tyt.com/Cenk Town Hall. And that's at Thursday at 8 o'clock Eastern. Okay, so check that out. And aspiration.com/TYT. Every new purchase plants 10 trees. There's a whole giant aspiration forest now, partly due to you guys. So aspiration.com/TYT. It's a great place for progressives to keep their money. And we're trying to work with more and more progressive companies that are actively trying to help. Aspiration does that through the environment. By the way, toostrongcoffee.com/TYT. Also, some of the proceeds for that, as you'll see there, go to progressive causes like Just Democrats, Wolf Pack, Rebellion Pack, etc. So toostrongcoffee.com/TYT, and it's actually great coffee too. All right, your comments as quickly as I can. Anna's Margarita Salt said, just finished another 30,000 step walk, hike, jog, and just donated $50 to TYT. We are TYT and we are too strong. Love it. Thank you so much. TYT.com/go is our main donation effort this year. And it's so important to keep us strong. Progressive Pirate says, Candace Owens wants to be a pea brain celebrity so bad. Well, she's halfway there. Dancing Crone speaks for a lot of people when they say, when you shine a light on Faw Media, you strengthen them. Look, we tried that route, guys, of ignoring the Candace Owens and the Ben Shapiro's of the world, and it only made them stronger. And they went unchallenged, and people started to believe them until we started going back in and kicking their ass. And now a lot of them, like Rubin and Shapiro, et cetera, are totally humiliated and exposed for the idiots that they are. So we'll do it one at a time, and bear with us as we do that. And we got to destroy these idiots on the right. I want
to
thank-
To that point, one of Candace Owens' supporters, I guess, sent me a message and was like, why don't you debate Candace Owens if you're not afraid? So I just want to say it openly and publicly. I will happily debate Candace Owens anytime. Anytime. I would love it. I would enjoy it. She probably would not, but open invitation. Continue, Jake.
All right. So let me thank the people who make this show possible. These are folks who just signed up on YouTube. You can just hit the join button below to make that happen. Michelle Ellis, Maria London, Lee Chan Shang, Jeanette Villalona, The Wiz is here, and Ann Harris. We love you guys. Thanks for doing that. Last one's from YouTube Super Chat. JW says, every day between 4 and 5, I turn to TYT. And obviously, depending on your local time, it might differ. It's 6 o'clock Eastern that we start the main show. For the last year in that hour's time slot, I've never watched anything else, but my recommended videos page rarely shows TYT, and I have to dig and search for it. Yes, that is very annoying. So one way that you could really, really help, guys, is just the easiest thing in the world. It doesn't cost any money and barely costs any time. It takes about 2 seconds. Hit the share button every time you watch the stream. Hit the like button too. If you do that, it helps send our message out to so many more people, and we flip so many conservatives. So thank you guys, we appreciate it. Anna, let's keep going.
All right. Michael Forrest Raynell was gunned down by law enforcement in Oregon after they claimed that he presented a weapon when they tried to apprehend him. Now, for those of you who might not have been following this story, he was one of the protesters in Portland, Oregon, who gunned down a Patriot Prayer member. That's a right-wing extremist group that showed up to protest against Black Lives Matter one night. Unfortunately, tensions flared and it led to this shooting. Now later, Raynell spoke to Vice and explained that he did it because he was defending himself, but he'll never see his day in court because cops gunned him down. Now Trump is actually celebrating extrajudicial killings and promoting the idea. He did so in a recent interview. Let's take a look.
Now we sent in the US Marshals for the killer, the man that killed the young man in the street. Just shot him. I mean, it was on television. Cold-blooded killed him. He didn't like his hat or he didn't like something, and it wasn't a Trump hat.
Right. This peaceful prayer.
It was a lot. It was a religious hat.
Right.
And he shot him cold blood. 2.5 days went by, and I put out, when are you going to go get him? And the US Marshals went in to get him. And in a short period of time, they ended in a gunfight. This guy was a violent criminal.
A lot of them out there.
And the US Marshals killed him. And I will tell you something, that's the way it has to be. There has to be retribution when you have crime like this.
All right, so a few corrections before you jump in, Cenk. So the Patriot Prayer member wasn't wearing religious garb, he was wearing a Patriot Prayer hat, which identifies the right-wing extremist group that he's associated with. So that's point number one. Point number two, there was no gunfight. Even the authorities acknowledge that Raynell presented a weapon, but they don't really go into details. They certainly don't say that he fired his weapon. And there is a witness who spoke to the Washington Post. We talked about this story last week. His name is Nate Dingus, and he lives in the apartment complex where Raynell was shot and killed. And he said that the cops didn't announce themselves at all, and that he did not see Raynell present any type of weapon. Now that's the account from one witness, but again, I mean, he's dead now, so I wish that there would be a robust investigation into this, but I'm not holding my breath. Cenk.
Yeah, so three things here. First, it's the Patriot Prayer Group, which is a far right wing militia, as Anna explained. But Jeanine Pirro, if you notice there, said it was a hat about a peaceful prayer group. Come on, man. There, nothing about a peaceful prayer group at all. But that's how they frame things. And when we say Fox News lies, that's among the things that we're talking about. They didn't say, hey, the guy who got shot was part of a right wing militia group that had gone there to agitate protesters and see if he could provoke violence. Instead, he was a peaceful prayer guy, and then they shot him in the street. Anyway, the guy who was shot, we don't have to get into it because he should have never been shot, in my opinion. Neither side should have guns, and that's abhorrent either way, but they certainly don't frame it that way. Now, when it comes to the guy who was shot, the left winger shot by the police. Look, here's how I know that there was no shootout with the cops. Investigators say they're not sure that he fired any shots. That means he didn't fire any shots. If cops thought he fired shots, they'd immediately say he fired shots and that's why we killed him. Then they say they're not sure yet that he presented a weapon. That means he didn't present a weapon. There's no way in the world cops are putting out a statement about a guy they just shot if there was a gunfight where they say we're not sure he even presented a weapon. No, none of that happened. The witness who says that they shot him without even identifying themselves is far, far, far more likely to be correct than cops who just shot the guy dead. So, and now the most important part of the story is about Trump.
I gotta add something to that. I gotta add to that, Cenk, because it's important. Because you're right. I mean, the cops they're very vague, right? So this is according to reporting from the Oregonian. Police have said Raynell was found with a handgun, but have not said if he fired any shots at officers. Thurston County Sheriff's Lieutenant Ray Brady said he didn't have any information regarding whether he fired any shots or produced his handgun during the encounter that night. So those are the facts coming from the actual cops. So sorry for that interruption, but I wanted to make sure people had those details. Go ahead.
Yeah, no question about it. And now the final piece, it has a good intro from one of our members, John Campbell Reese, who just wrote in. He says, no, Mr. President, you don't need retribution, you need justice. That's exactly right. People who are in favor of the rule of law don't go around looking for retribution. They go looking for justice through a system of government that produces that justice. And it produces it no matter what the skin color is, race, religion, name, or identification of anyone, right? That's why justice is supposed to be blind. But that's not what Trump believes in. Trump believes in what he just told you. He says, look, I asked the marshals to get involved. Next thing you know, the guy's dead in the street. We needed that kind of retribution. He's not hiding it. He just said it.
Yeah.
And that's how fascism works. Eventually, they go from, oh, we're doing it for law and order, to we're just doing it because we have the power to do it and you can't stop us.
Yeah, and I think what gets lost in the constant like how people politicize these stories and how people like to go off into their own corners is things get, I think, intentionally misinterpreted. And look, the point is we shouldn't give a green light to any government agency, any law enforcement agency, to decide whether someone gets to live or die. They don't get to be the ones who carry out the entire justice system, right? So if someone is suspected of committing a crime, they should be detained. They should face an investigation. They should stand trial. Justice should be served. No one is saying, oh, these people are totally innocent and let them go. No, let them go and be free. That is not a talking point that I've heard any serious person make. But I do hear the right wing intentionally put out this false narrative to make it appear as though people on the left want criminals running around all over the place and for no justice to be served. But look, regardless of where you stand on this debate, you have to take a step back and ask yourself if you're comfortable promoting and supporting a system that allows for the state to carry out executions, to allow for a police department to carry out executions just based on who they feel is guilty or not guilty. That's not okay. That is not how justice is carried out. And so this is a huge issue, and Trump is only fueling that issue, right? When Duterte, the leader of the Philippines, was talking about allowing cops to just carry out extrajudicial killings, tens of thousands of people died within the first few months that he was elected. And it was just based on cops thinking like, oh yeah, this person's probably in possession of drugs. This person is probably trafficking drugs. No, that's a scary situation to live under, and we're increasingly turning into that, and it's terrifying.
So I look, the guy in Portland who shot the right winger, I wish he was brought to justice, and I wish there was a trial, and that the family of the victim in that case would have gotten some degree of justice if the facts were borne out as they appeared to be, but. When cops do extrajudicial killings, you don't know if you're getting justice. That's the whole point. It isn't about justice. Retribution is about vengeance that is sometimes purposely misdirected. The whole point of justice is directing it in the right direction, right? Getting it to the person that it belongs on, right? And so it doesn't mean not carrying out justice. There's a reason why all the left-wing slogans have justice in it. There's a reason why Justice Democrats are named Justice Democrats, because we seek justice. But if you're seeking retribution for political reasons, then you don't really care if it's the right person or the wrong person. You only care that they're on the wrong political side. And yes, that's fascism defined, when you empower government officials with guns to kill people without trials and say they were on the wrong side. That's a very scary place to be. And we're about 2 months away from finding out if that's the country we live in.
Well, when we come back from the break, we'll get into some of the details on Trump's letters, love letters to Kim Jong-un, a brutal dictator in North Korea. We'll be right back.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
Hey guys, back on the Young Turks. Let me read some comments real quick. Someone who likes Bernie Sanders is a member and wrote in, "I know it's a serious story, but I'm a child and I will not let the name Nate Dingus go unnoticed." Somebody had to do it, brother. Okay. Zichter writes in, "Really did not remember Ahmed Arbery anymore. I remember the story, but not the name of the victim." Goes on to explain, lives in Brazil and has to keep track of both of the sets of news. But it really goes towards an important point, which is, yeah, there's now so many African-American victims. You can't possibly remember all the names from the dozens of stories in the last couple of years alone. David Johnson, very helpfully on YouTube Super Chat, says, "Don't forget to like and share, folks. Involve to evolve. You United States Marine Corps vets, hang in there. Love it. Thank you, David." Charles Massey says, "Thank God and baby Jesus for the TYT app." That's awesome.
Yes.
One of the parts of the TYT app is it's mobile, so you can take it anywhere you want and still watch us when we're live. And then last one is Mr. 44Tube on YouTube Super Chat says, "Big ups, Jenk and Anna. Keep up the great work. Also, it's our buddy Ken's birthday today. If you can say happy birthday to him, that'd be awesome. Thank you. Happy birthday, Ken. Asking, ye shall receive." I'm actually going to do one from our Twitch audience, Vash MX91, resub for their third month. Also, apparently, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we have a hype train going. So if you're on Twitch, join the hype train. All right, Casper, go.
All right. Lost in the mix of Bob Woodward news, including news that Donald Trump intentionally downplayed the coronavirus, we've learned that, let me start that again. That was a horrible lead. Okay, we're doing it live. We're doing it live. I lost my train of thought and it's okay. I'm
Anna,
a real
can
person.
I just say real quick. I also forgot one thing. Hey guys, I wanted to update you real quick on the thermometer. So tyt.com/go. Okay, no, seriously. Because look, it makes the show possible and we really appreciate it only through the end of this year. So let me see tyt.com/go. Hey, we're trying to get the 45,000 during the last segment and we did 45,700. Really appreciate it. By the post game, we get to 46. That would be amazing. All right, Anna, go ahead.
All right. One of the many revelations from Bob Woodward's book touches on Trump's insane love affair with Kim Jong-un and the multiple, literally dozens of love letters they sent one another. Remember that Trump met with Kim Jong-un on 3 separate occasions and Woodward had obtained dozens of those letters and he details them in his upcoming book. Luckily, we've learned more about them before having to buy his book. And so let me share you some of those details. In one letter, Kim Jong-un allegedly wrote to Trump, "Our meetings, our relationship is out of a fantasy film. There's a magical force between us. Even now, I cannot forget that moment of history when I firmly held Your Excellency's hand as the whole world watched." Now, after Kim's first meeting with Trump, he also wrote, "Even now, I cannot forget that moment of history when I firmly held Your Excellency's hand." Wait, I already read that. Excellency's hand at the beautiful and sacred location as the whole world watched with great interest and hoped to relive the honor of that day. Following the leader's second meeting, go ahead, Cenk.
Before we get into more details, I got to say that's actually the most pathetic thing I've ever read about Donald Trump. Now you're going to say, wait, Cenk, is that fair? Trump didn't write that. Kim Jong-un is writing that to him. remember, Donald Trump said that they fell in love with each other. So Trump is a very happy and willing participant of this back and forth. But the most important part is Kim Jong-un, of course, is not writing those letters. That idiot Donald Trump doesn't even know that. It's some propaganda agent in North Korea who has deduced that you can get anything you want from Donald Trump as long as you flatter him about holding his hand and what a great king he would make. And it's his, that he's the excellency and all that stuff. And they're like, they told Kim Jong-un, this guy is so dumb, he's the world's easiest guy to manipulate. You just say this outlandish things. Even the North Koreans must have been slightly embarrassed at writing this, going, really? Really? This is gonna work? Because for on any other human being, you'd be mortified. Oh my God. This 100%. Genocidal dictator is sending me love letters with the most gushing. I mean, even if he wasn't a dictator, it'd still be embarrassing. But Trump reads that and goes, nailed it. That's how dumb he is.
No, but okay. Yeah, so let's talk about that for a second, because Donald Trump is such an insecure little prick that he's constantly like searching for validation. And so dictators might be cruel, horrible people, but they're not necessarily dumb. And if they know how to manipulate someone for their own personal or political gain, they're certainly gonna do it. Donald Trump has like a giant sign across his forehead that says, I'll do anything for you if you compliment me. So that's why you have Kim Jong-un talking about firmness and handholding and all this uncomfortable stuff that I don't want to read about anymore. But this is the news cycle. This is what we're dealing with right now. So following the leader's second meeting, Kim wrote in June of 2019 that every minute we shared 103 days ago in Hanoi was also a moment of glory that remains a precious memory. I also believe that the deep and special friendship between us will work as a magical force. And Trump responded to it, by the way. So let me give you a little taste of Trump's love letters to Kim Jong-un. Only you and I working together can resolve the issues between our two countries and end nearly 70 years of hostility, bringing an era of prosperity to the Korean Peninsula that will exceed all our greatest expectations. And you will be the one to lead. It will be historic. Now look, let me be clear. I think people know this already, but just in case, I prefer a diplomatic route to denuclearizing countries. Now, keep in mind that Woodward's book also released some new information about Trump and how he's been developing more nuclear weapons, classified nuclear weapons that the general public obviously doesn't know much about. So Trump's, you know, obviously building nuclear weapons while, you know, accusing Iran of doing the same and trying to convince other countries to denuclearize. I mean, you can lead by example, but of course Trump isn't interested in doing that. And also, let me read a little bit more from what we know about their meetings and what they've been communicating with one another. Following the demilitarized zone meeting, Trump wrote to Kim on June 30th, being with you today was truly amazing, attaching a copy of the New York Times front page from that day. 2 days later, Trump wrote again, sending 22 photographs and a mixtape of their meeting. I'm just kidding, there was no mixtape. And then he says, these images are great memories for me and captured the unique friendship that you and I have developed. Okay, but here's the problem. Kim Jong-un didn't do anything, right? He didn't stop building nuclear weapons. He didn't stop with the missile testing. He's still doing that. And all Trump accomplished was propaganda that North Korea desperately wanted, right? Pro North Korea propaganda, and we got nothing in return.
So that's exactly right. If you say, hey, listen, guys, don't you want diplomacy? Absolutely. And if Trump was lying to Kim Jong-un and telling him how much he wanted to caress his hand and send some beautiful pictures of them together in front of a Korean gulag, but it gets the job done and we get a great peace deal with North Korea, I can live with it, okay? But we got nothing from North Korea. They developed half a dozen nukes under Trump's watch, just caught my phone. And we got zero diplomacy, zero results. All we got was Donald Trump's ego stroke. This is what he said about those letters well before that they were released, okay? He said, he wrote me beautiful letters and they're great letters. We fell in love. That's a direct quote from Donald Trump. See, look guys, he looked at those letters that any other human being would be mortified to get and thought, this guy loves me and I love him back. And I don't care how many nukes he builds. I don't care how many Americans, South Koreans, Japanese lives he threatens. I don't care how many concentration camps he runs. He likes me, so I'm gonna give him whatever he wants. That's the pathetic man we have in charge.
It's just so, so sad. And even after these revelations were uncovered by Woodward, he did talk about them in some detail prior to the 60 Minutes interview that he had this past weekend. Trump put out this tweet, which I thought was amazing. There have been some rumors about Kim Jong-un's health and how he's been struggling lately. And so Trump tweets, Kim Jong-un is in good health, never underestimate him. What is wrong with you? Like what? Okay, all right, great, awesome. And by the way, Woodward also says that you know, intelligence officials do know about these communications, the love letters, all of that. He also says the analysts concluded that they're masterpieces because they are appealing to Trump's sense of grandiosity. So even Woodward says it, even the intelligence community says it. But more importantly, Kim Jong-un might not even be the one writing these letters, right? It might be like his.
Of course.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. God, so but sad. Trump, on the other hand, probably is dictating the letters himself. Tell him how much I love him too. And I'm thinking of sending him Van Halen in the mixtape. He'll really enjoy that. So of course, the propagandists in North Korea are writing those letters. And of course, they've analyzed Trump's tiny little mind and thought it would work, and it did. Guys, when he says that he supports leaders that are stronger, that's another comment he made about Erdogan and Putin and Kim Jong-un and Duterte. These are all authoritarian to dictators. And he says, and the ones that are our allies, he says he doesn't like as much. That's because he likes dictators. So the right wing is unfortunately hopeless. If you can't see now that he fell in love with a communist dictator, there's no hope for you. All right, postgame's coming up. Hit the join button below. You're gonna love it, including stories on how they are gonna start fascism. According to Roger Stone, we'll, that's paraphrasing, but we'll give you the full details when we come back.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.